Welcome back to The Takeaway. Todd Zwillick with you this morning. John and Celeste are out. Well, we turn now to Greensboro, North Carolina, and day three of the federal corruption trial of former Senator John Edwards. On the second day of questioning by the defense, the former senator and vice presidential candidate is being charged with violating campaign finance law by using money given to him by wealthy supporters, but he used it to hide his affair with Riel Hunter and their subsequent love child while running for the Democratic presidential nomination in 2008. That's what he's accused of. Yesterday, the defense cross-examined Edwards' former aide, a fellow named Andrew Young, who had testified that Edwards directed him to use the funds from donors to take care of Ms. Hunter. And the testimony wasn't pretty. Kim Severinsen, Atlanta bureau chief for our partner, The New York Times, was in the courtroom, and she joins us now. Hi, Kim.
Hi, how are you?
Well, thank you. Thanks for joining us. Andrew Young is the prosecution's key witness here. He has immunity. Is that right?
Right. He's got immunity from prosecution. He was John Edwards' basically his partner in this whole cover-up. And, you know, Andrew Young was a young guy who started driving Mr. Edwards around, saw that he was, you know, quite taken with him as a politician, like a lot of people were, thought he was smart and charming and somebody to believe in. And he sort of ingratiated himself with the Edwards family and moved up and eventually worked in his Senate office and became kind of his body man for a while. Then when it turned out that this affair was in full bloom, and Elizabeth Edwards found out about it, Mr. Young helped Mr. Edwards figure out how to get the money to make sure she didn't find out, at least for a while.
Now, Andrew Young was on the stand yesterday, Kim Severinsen. Just how nasty was the cross-examination? I mean, I know that the details are probably somewhat sorted, but let's have them.
Right. Well, you can understand that Andrew Young, number one, claimed paternity of the child for a while, went on a run for a year with Rael and Quinn, their babe, the baby that John Edwards had with her. So he knows a lot. But he's also written a tell-all book called The Candidate. He's been deposed by grand juries. He's been in civil suits. He's a very, very well-coached witness for the prosecution. But when Abby Lowell, who's the defense attorney, got a hold of him, the inaccuracies in his book, the places that Mr. Young has lied previously in his life, even his motivation for being with the Edwards camp were just played out in a grueling long day in court. I think everything down to, you know, perhaps Mr. Young at one point said he wore white underwear. Mr. Lowell was going to prove that it was in fact blue. I mean, it was that much minutia and that intense. And at the end of the day, he actually suggested that Mr. Young was a little bit in love with Mr. Edwards, and then Mr. Edwards, as the noose was tightening around his neck, pushed him aside and wouldn't contact Mr. Edwards, and was really sort of the equivalent of a political scorned lover. At least that's what the defense was suggesting.
So with all of this trying to, you know, damaging of Andrew Young's credibility and kind of recriminations of people's, you know, I guess, credibility and truth-telling, what have we learned about the evidence of whether John Edwards knowingly took campaign contributions and used it to cover up an affair? Because his defense is they were gifts from rich friends, not campaign contributions. I paid taxes on those gifts like you're supposed to, and that's all it was.
All right, well, it was actually the donors who paid taxes. John Edwards didn't pay taxes, but still gift taxes were paid. And, you know, it's the thing is when you hear voicemails from Mr. Edwards to Mr. Young, which Mr. Young at some point began saving, and we heard some of those voicemails in court saying, you know, I think our problem's going to be handled. We're going to get this money. You hear the level to which they were discussing and planning and plotting to cover Rael. It's kind of hard to imagine that it was not going to help his image. I mean, you find out about, you know, this kind of affair, you're probably not going to get elected president. Also, the donors themselves, one of whom was Rachel Bunny Mellon, who's a banking heiress. She's 101 and is not expected to be able to travel to testify. She would write notes that would say, "Go Edwards," and she would send $100,000 checks from her personal account, hiding them from her own accountant, and was quite taken with the idea that Mr. Edwards was a new Kennedy, and Miss Mellon was good friends with Jackie Kennedy, so she was quite enamored with him and with the whole campaign, and clearly, she was giving money because she believed he was going to be president. It's going to be difficult to prove, of course. Was it money just for the purpose of impacting the campaign? That's what the government has to prove. on the face of it, you think, God, why else were they doing it? But on the other hand, campaign finance laws are such that the government's going to have a tough job here.
Sure, it doesn't. The money does not come in an envelope sealed, marked for campaign expenses only, and then you spend it on something else. It's not that clear cut, which makes this case hard to prove. But Kim Severinsen, I wonder, outside of the facts of the case here, you know, we have sort of the character John Edwards is a real villain, you know, cheating on his wife, Elizabeth Edwards, who later, unfortunately, tragically died of cancer, produced a love child, then his wife passed away. Is there any sense in people you talk to, maybe outside of the official proceedings, outside of the courtroom, that legal or illegal money or not, that John Edwards, you know, deserves a little justice?
Well, there people do talk about, in fact, his opening arguments, his attorneys were like, this is a man who understands true humility. This is a man who's been through a lot. And, you know, certainly his daughter, Kate, who's 30 and an attorney herself, has been there every day. His elderly parents come into the courtroom. And I talked to a lot of reporters, some of whom have been covering him for a long time, some of whom he went on air, ABC reporter he went on air and lied to, Bob Woodruff. And we're all like, is there redemption in John Edwards? Is there something here? And most people say, you know, he is, by all accounts, a doting parent to his two small kids, and also to Kate, and also to Quinn, the child he fathered with Rael, who he goes and visits regularly in Charlotte. But, you know, it's tough to hear all the testimony and talk to people who have known him for a long time and not feel like this is a man who, it's tough. Let's just say we're all looking for that side of John Edwards, and we'll let you know when we find him.
Makes me wonder if the story of this former vice presidential candidate and promising presidential candidate has any chance of not becoming a Lifetime movie of the week at some point, because that's what it's shaping up to be at this point.
Well, interestingly,
Kim, we got to go though.
Aaron,
I got to wrap it up. I'm sorry.
Bought the movie rights.
Well, good. Well, that's a good point to know. They bought the movie rights. Kim Severinsen, Atlanta bureau chief for our partner, the New York Times. Thanks for getting that in, Kim.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.